That was a beautiful mazurka, music by Vladislav Špilman, an emigre composer who survived the Warsaw Ghetto. He was often referred to as the Cole Porter of Poland. One of my recordings there. And now joining us on the phone, I have a very, very special guest, Grammy Award-winning conductor, musical director, musical personality, Michael Christie, who is now music director of the New West Symphony. And our listeners may recognize that name. The late Boris Brat had founded that orchestra. And it's my pleasure to introduce Michael. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Daniel. It's wonderful to be with you.
Great to have you. Whereabouts in the world are you at the moment?
I'm at home in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay. Lake County, is it freezing there like Canada at the moment?
It is very cold, but we have a distressing lack of snow. Although I'm from Buffalo, New York, and my parents have an abundance of snow. They're getting feet by the day, which is quite something. But yeah, we are enjoying bright, beautiful, blue, clear skies and
Gotcha.
just a dust of snow. So all good.
Well, great to have you. I can't wait to collaborate with you next week. It's already next week. Look at that. We've been planning this for quite a while, of course. It's Rhapsody in Blue, also Vladislav Špilman Concertino for piano and orchestra. And if you could tell us also some of the other works that you're featuring on this program. It's very special in honor of International Holocaust Remembrance Day. Kind of walk us through your conception of this program, how it came to be.
I think with many smaller orchestras, we pack a lot of things into our performances. And so there's a lot of items on our agenda. First is to celebrate the centenary of some very important works for the symphonic genre, the Rhapsody in Blue and the Pines of Rome of Respighi, all written in 1924. You've graciously agreed to play The Fascinating Rhythm of George and Ira Gershwin, which was also written in 1924. That was the beginning of our thinking. It was this important year of works that have endured for the century that followed. We are also embarking on a multi-year project in the lead-up to the 250th anniversary of the signing of the United States Declaration of Independence. So effectively, the 250th birthday of the United States, which is in July of 2026. And so we are partnering with Roger Kellaway, a great jazz pianist, Joe Soam, who is one of our important national photographers, also with narration by Clint Eastwood and the Bergman family.
Oh,
Both Alan and
fantastic.
Marilyn Bergman, wrote all those amazing songs for Barbra Streisand and among many other people.
That's
So they created a
right.
piece called Visions of America. So we're doing part of that.
Okay, I see that in the program. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, Grammy and Academy Award. Wow. I didn't know this would be such a massive, multifaceted multimedia event. It's fantastic.
It is, and we're doing a lot more of those kinds of events at New West Symphony in general. There has been a call
Right.
for such a long time among
Right.
symphony goers for more visual experiences. And I think in our Spotify playlist world,
Yep.
generally, I just think people have an appetite for more variety in a concert. So that's what we're
Right.
exploring, and so far we've been enjoying the fruits of that.
Well, I want to touch upon that a little bit because you joined the New West Symphony in 2019. And one of your goals was to make it more diverse, more inclusive. And the Los Angeles Times immediately picked up on that, calling your tenure now as embracing the mission of refreshing the modern concert experience for a new generation. Would you say multimedia is a big part of that?
Absolutely. Yep. I think that not only embracing new media in terms of photography, drone footage, and that kind of thing, but also just acknowledging that a lot of the great works that we perform frequently were written for dance or were written for some other presentation or film, etc. And to be more cognizant of that and just be brave about saying to the audience, we're going to play Afternoon of the Faun and we want you to see the dance that comes with that. And just being more attuned to the audience's experience, not just to say,
Right.
wow, these are great pieces and they'll sound wonderful together, which of
Right.
course we are as stewards of the craft, but to say the people that are sitting there for 2 hours, what is their actual experience? What are the highs and lows? How does the energy work through a concert? And, I think one of the tricky balancing acts is that we're at such a juncture in terms of generation of people who have experienced for their whole lives concerts unfolding in one way And then we have this whole other generation that has had very little concert experience. And then we have a very young generation who's just kind of very open to a lot of things.
And we're also living in such a visual era, right? I mean, when I was growing up, nobody had a smartphone.
Oh, gosh, no. No, and I talk to my kids about that all the time.
Well, phenomenal. I'm speaking with Michael Christie, a Grammy Award-winning music conductor, director, personality, also helps bring many modern works to life. We'll talk about that in just a second, but I'm very excited because I'll be performing together with the New West Symphony next week in honor of International Holocaust Remembrance Day, and we have several works here, all that were written in 1924. Including Gershwin's Fascinating Rhythm, Rhapsody in Blue, the Spielmann Concertino, Respighi, Pines of Rome. So it's my pleasure, Michael. We could pull you out of your busy schedule, and just you sharing these tidbits with us is so inspiring. I want to talk a little bit about your Grammy Award, Best Opera Recording Experience. What was that like? You did a Mason Bates work.
Right. So we produced The Revolution of Steve Jobs by California-based composer Mason Bates at the Santa Fe Opera. And we made a recording of the opera live during that presentation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Santa Fe Opera. The altitude there. Incredible. That's an experience in itself.
Exactly. So we were up against some mighty contenders. And I actually assumed, because the Metropolitan Opera and other esteemed organizations were also contenders, that why would we, with a brand new opera, win? So I was not at the ceremony, which I'm still kicking myself for. I was in Chicago at a Macy's.
Oh, really? It was that much of a surprise.
Yeah. And then some of my colleagues who in the cast who were on the recording texted and said, well, our category is coming up in a couple of minutes, so why don't you hop online and watch? And so I was standing at the counter with my pair of socks that I was buying, and they rang up the thing, and I said, you're going to have to excuse me. I think I just won a Grammy.
Oh, my goodness. Look at that. It's always when you least expect it, right?
Indeed. But the piece has been heard in Canada, actually. Calgary Opera performed it just a year ago.
I'll look out for that one. Yeah, I haven't come across it.
People can hear it on Spotify, Apple.
So fascinating. Your career, New York Philharmonic debut in 2007, stepping in at short notice for an ailing Riccardo Muti. What was that like?
Pretty stressful.
Yeah.
looking back.
Was that in Carnegie Hall?
It was at Lincoln Center.
Oh, Lincoln Center. Okay. Still, it's very stressful.
You know, I think the hardest part about, well, it was Copland's Third Symphony, you know, which is just a piece they recorded with, have had these legendary recordings with Leonard Bernstein, and Pinchas Zukerman was the soloist, and he was very lovely and gracious. But I remember being so in awe of it that I brought my recording, a CD recording of the New York Phil with Leonard Bernstein. And I remember getting a few of the players who have particularly big parts to sign it, because I'm the conductor, but I'm also, you know, total fangirl when it comes to what these people accomplish in their lives. Just the skill and the power of these players and the thousands of concerts they've given. I mean, to be one grain of sand in the history of such an organization is just, it's almost too much to imagine.
Fantastic.
Let alone people who go all the time.
Well, thank you, Michael. I look forward to working with you next week on our 1924 program. And we're just so thrilled. The New West Symphony continues to thrive under your leadership. And best of luck with all your upcoming projects and musical inspirations.
Appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. And we are standing on the shoulders of Boris Brot, who brought so much to the Ventura County community in Southern California.
Yeah.
He brought together two orchestras to create New West Symphony and led it with such spirit. It broke everyone's hearts just in unimaginable ways because he had such personal connections with donors and concert patrons and community leaders. And, you know, we stand with Ardith and we acknowledge his incredible impact, not only on our region in Southern California, but clearly throughout Canada. So
absolutely. And we have a huge listenership who remembers him with incredible, almost like a legend. Just the millions of lives he touched in Hamilton and beyond with his incredible charisma. So we're grateful that his spirit continues to live on.
A force of nature, for sure. Indeed.
Great, Michael. All the best to you. You have an inspiring afternoon ahead, and see you in California next week.
You got it. Travel well.
You as well. For more information, check out newwestsymphony.org, newwestsymphony.org. You can see their latest schedule and all the fun stuff they're doing, the incredible engaging programs, and it's all under the leadership of my special guest here, Michael Christie. And now back to the jukebox.